Boston John.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning to you.
Hey, so I had a sniper shoot the heel off of my boot.
Did you want that heel off your boot? Was he trying to help?
Is there dog poo on it? What happened?
Right.
So basically, there were women that were chained to a corner of a building, and I was cutting them free. And so he didn't like it, so he took a shot at me, and he took the heel off of my boot.
This what? So you were serving in the military?
Yeah, I was part of the Liberation Force for Kuwait City. I was one of the first 10,000 people in the city.
Wow, God bless you. Thank you for your service.
I was going to say, Boston's getting really rough over there.
I was thinking the same thing, so like, happening over there?
So when we couldn't bomb the buildings, they had them all chained up, you know, from the air. So we had to cut them.
I remember these news reports. They had people chained to the buildings so we wouldn't drop bombs on them.
Yeah, they hid in, like, schools and whatnot. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, I had – so basically, I drew the short straw, and I had to cut them. I had these bolt cutters that weighed, like, 100 pounds, and I was – freeing them while being shot at, and the sniper took a shot at me and got me in the heel, and I went into the building and got him.
Wow. And then took his boots.
I took his sniper rifle.
Nice.
I took his rifle. His rifle's hanging in my house right now.
Cool.
Is that right?
Nice.
Oh, that's... yeah. He was so smart. He had animals. Let's get the pigs involved. He had pigs. He had animals where he was, so that when we came to get him, the pigs were letting them know where we were.
Wow.
Yeah, they always squeal.
So, they squealed, all right. So then he turned around and shot at us. So I took concussion grenades and threw them in there, and the bones from the animals perforated his body and killed him.
That is funny.
Wow. Hell of a barbecue afterwards,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, real close to death. I mean, when he shot...
Isn't that a religious thing? I don't think they like... They don't eat pork, do they?
No. No, that's a bad thing there.
Well, there were goats. I'm sorry. There were goats. There were goats.
Okay. Okay. Right. Okay.
Acceptable then, yes. Bad.
But, when he shot me in the heel, it literally took me off my feet. I fell to the ground. I thought I had gotten shot in the foot, but then realized I didn't, and that's when we stormed the building.
Wow.
And you're settled as hash, boy, big time.
Wow.
Well, you know, just on his end, if his rifle was up just, you know, an inch more higher, he would have got me in the head.
Oh.
Wait, how does that work? How was your heel that close to your head?
You're standing in your head?
No, I'm saying, like, the end of his rifle, if it was a half an inch higher.
I got you.
The bullet traveling in the distance would have took my head off.
A half an inch.
So, yeah, half an inch from death. Is that close enough for you guys today?
Yes. I think so.
Oh, man.
A half inch lower, I found oil.
That is an amazing story. And glad you're alive.
Yes.
And thank you for your service.
Thanks. Yeah, man, thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, anytime.
And how badass is that you killed him with the bones of his own animal, right? And now you have his gun hanging in your house.
Oh, yeah. What's cool about it is it's a semi-automatic weapon, so they allowed us to bring them home. So, yeah, I got it in about 1,000 rounds.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow. Was it like it's a sniper rifle, right? So real long barrel? What caliber?
Is it a Russian gun?
Yeah, it's called a Russian Dragunov, and it's, it's taller than me standing. Yeah. I would say it's like 7 feet long.
Ooh.
And it's like a 30-odd.
Wow.
Man, this is why you have to make every shot count, and luckily he didn't. Because those people you're shooting at, they could come back.
It's true.
They might take it personally.
Yep, like he did.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's just a loser, because I was the one with the bolt cutters. I wasn't shooting at him. So, you know, that's kind of like a loser play.
It's been a jerk.
The guy that's shooting at you, you know?
That's an excellent point.
You know, he was doing the soft target.
All you're doing is freeing people. Yep. You have his back to him. Yeah.
Well, he was starting off as I was freeing the women, he was shooting the women.
Oh.
As I was freeing them, which really pissed me off. You know, and that's when, after I got shot in the heel, that's when I told my boys, I go, forget this. let's go and get this guy. And we did. We got him good.
You know, I typically don't laugh when someone dies, but this is a pretty good one.
Yeah, you kind of asked for it.
Yeah. This is someone who the world became a better place when those goat bones went into him.
No worries.
Instantly.
Yeah. Feel bad for the goats, though.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is like when we went in after blowing up the room, he was kind of still alive, and I got right down on the ground and looked him dead in the eye, and all he could do was look at his rifle. So I kicked his rifle to him so that I had an excuse to shoot him in the head.
Here you go.
Damn.
Let me up, buddy.
Wow. I'll remember this story forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, true story. Close call.
As close as you get.
Yep.
So
I love that you kept the rifle, too.
Trophy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's in the man cave. It's in the man cave. And it works. It's fully operational.
Just go goat hunting with it.
Nice weapon.
Yeah.
You can go hunting with it. Oh, yeah, for sure. I take it up north, and we see how far we can shoot. You know, we do targets at, like, you know, 100-plus yards.
Yeah, you're in New Hampshire. Kill a deer in Vermont. Yep.
All right. Thank you, brother. You're in the running.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
You too, man. Thank you.
Karen in Middletown.
Hi, guys and gals. Good morning.
Hello.
How's everybody?
Excellent. Just how are you?
Not too bad. I just got out of work, so I'm better. Always.
Even better. Yeah, what do you do?
Even better. I work at a rehab.
Oh.
Oh, good for you.
You called us.
What kind of a rehab?
Drug, alcohol.
Oh, you came to the right place.
The work of angels.
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, I have a personal connection to the place because I came through there 26 years ago.
Well,
so
there you go.
See?
You're giving back.
Exactly.
Yep. Absolutely. So my story, just so you end up going, I don't know. That guy's a pretty hard act to follow.
Well, it's not about that.
Yeah, it's not a competition.
We're not judging anyone. Everybody on gets in the running.
Okay. So years ago, back when I was like 21, I decided I was bored, and I decided to move to Florida. And I got a one-way ticket down there, and I started to end up doing things to make money because anybody who's been in Florida, you don't really end up making money there.
Now, say doing things to make money, would that involve a pole and platform shoes
or drugs?
No. You know, if I could have done that, I probably would have, but I wasn't that good. At doing any of those type of things. So I had to do the manual labor sort of things instead.
What do you mean?
So
like build sidewalks?
Well, I ended up getting, well, I'm sorry.
Don't listen to him.
No one does. Go ahead.
I learned that a long time ago. Go ahead.
No, I started to do, you know, like painting and,
okay.
Cool.
And you know, I started to do, okay. like I say, manual labor.
Handiwork.
Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you were dancing around something. I was just trying to get to what you were doing. Now we know.
I thought you wanted me to be on the pole, you know, with the high heels and stuff, you know.
You had to do things, and I thought, well, why wouldn't she just say I had to go to work?
I had to work.
A bit ambiguous.
Yeah, right. Do things. I'm like, okay, you became a stripper.
Right. I was like a drug addict.
And then you said, no, I couldn't do that. I had to do manual labor. I'm like, does that mean hooker? I don't know.
I went there, too. Yep.
No, so good. Well, you went down there, and you worked.
You worked.
I did. Yes. Yes, I did. Yep. And I ended up getting involved with a roofing company, and That's how this story ends up being, is because I got involved doing a roof one day with, like, four other guys. Roofing in Florida.
So hot.
Yeah.
Right, close to the sun.
Hard work.
Hot, yeah. Bugs.
Right.
Bugs. Yep. Yeah.
Mountain Dew.
Yep. Pests. Critters of all kinds.
Yeah.
Yeah, all kinds of goodies down there. Absolutely. Salamanders jumping out of the bushes and stuff like that.
On a good day, yes.
On a good, well, you hear them coming, but it's still, you know.
Are you eating something?
Salamanders.
No.
Yeah.
It's Karen.
Right. Get her. But that's not my near death, though. The near death thing actually came because we were doing a roof on one of the causeways down there. And there was a thunderstorm coming in, and we were trying to just, like, hurry up and kind of cover the roof with something so that the water wouldn't go in because it was a tear-off. So we had to bring it all the way down to the plywood, replace plywood, and you know, cover it up. Well, we didn't end up making it that far. The lightning from the thunderstorm started coming before the rain, before anything. And in Florida, most of the houses and stuff down there end up having lightning rods. And I'm guessing it's because of the fact of how many storms go through there.
Yeah.
So most of the houses end up having them. And this house had one. But the problem was it also ended up having a pole where their electric went in. So the pole with the electric, needless to say, became a conduit. And it automatically went right to that pole, and it blew a hole right in the roof.
Whoa.
Some more work.
And one of the guys that I was working with fell through the hole.
Oh, my God.
He fell through the hole. And I was like, I was probably about maybe 10 to 15 feet away from him. And the lightning hit again. This time it hit off of the lightning rod, which was right next to where I was.
And he started dancing on the pole.
Oh, my God.
I knew there was a pole involved.
There was. I couldn't get away from him. Yeah. Yeah. Even up on a roof.
Damn.
His name was Kerplunk, by the way.
And this happens very quickly. Yeah. Like, you almost don't have time to assess what's happening.
No.
It's like, whoa.
React.
Flash of light. Yep. Hole. Co-worker's
Kerplunk.
Gone.
Yep, yep.
And then, woof.
Yep.
Right.
It hits the...
He was down inside their kitchen looking up going... I think I broke something.
Yeah, well, the ceiling for one.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you went down through the roof. Yeah, you broke something, okay.
Oh, man.
So the storm came. Then here comes the rain and the thunder and everything else. But usually the lightning is the first thing you see down there.
Yeah, well, you almost got hit by lightning, so that's a brush with death.
Yes,
and
it
you're
is.
In the
oh,
running.
Yeah.
It's Matt in Colchester.
June 27th of this past year, I had a motorcycle accident. Suffered some pretty severe injuries and put me out of work for 5 months. Caused me to miss the birth of my son.
Oh, no.
But I'm blessed.
But you're alive.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir. Back to work. And, you know, I got to extend a huge thank you to the Colchester Fire Department. My brothers and sisters from the Colchester Fire Department were huge, supportive, helped me move. You know, the care on scene because it happened in town. Just all the way around awesome.
So you're with the fire department, you have a motorcycle accident, and your brothers and sisters from the fire department come out.
Yeah, and I was actually on my way back from the Ricardo Torres benefit ride.
Oh, okay.
It happened.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just one of those things.
Yeah.
And
what happened?
Harper Bone and Joint Institute. They put me back together. My ankle, my knee, my pelvis was all pretty well banged up.
May I ask what happened with the accident?
It's under litigation right now, so I can't talk too much
can't
more
divulge.
About it.
I got you. All right. Well, we're glad you're okay.
But, yes.
Like I said, huge thank you to Hartford Bone and Joint. You know, they got me back up and walking and put me back together. That's huge, you know.
Oh, man.
So.
No doubt.
And my son, I have a healthy baby boy, 4 months old.
Yay.
Like, you know, blessed all the way around. You know?
Yeah, man.
Great attitude, man.
Great attitude.
But I was alive through the whole thing. When we collided, the vehicle pulled out in front of me. I can tell you that much. And we caused the collision. And I was awake through the whole thing, surprisingly.
That's good. But also, you get a lot of time to think about how bad it is.
Yeah.
So, you know?
Yeah.
But, hey, you're still here.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's tough for your brothers and sisters with the fire department because they're looking at you and they don't want to show you in their eyes how bad it is.
Absolutely. And there was a little bit of guilt on that aspect of it because in stature, I'm a very large person. So I've always been there for my peers, my brothers and sisters. If something happens, I'm going to pull them out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And here they are scraping me up off the pavement. And later on, a couple of them told me, you know, their hearts dropped when they saw me laying there and recognized who it was.
They returned the favor to you.
That's what you never want to do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's why, you know, I can never say thank you enough.
You
got to really appreciate the people that help you out in these things.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So. Well, glad you're okay.
Thank
you for what you do. And we'll put you in the running for the tickets. Thank you, brother.
Awesome. Have a great day, guys.
You too, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, let's try over here. Alan in North Haven. I'm sorry. In North Salem, New York.
Ooh.
Yeah, there we go. First of all, I'm glad to hear Matt is okay. I'm a volunteer myself, and
thank
to
you.
Hear about one of my brothers or sisters being in an accident, I know what it's like to see that. Anyways, to move on, this was a flashback. This train hitting the plane was a flashback for me from early in my life. We were on a family trip, all five boys and my mom and dad. We were driving out to Nebraska, and in our 65 Buick LeSabre, and I was in the back seat, and everybody was sort of either sleeping or relaxing, and my dad is just hammering it on Interstate 80, and I'm hanging over the seat, looking at the speedometer, and it's at like 75 miles an hour, and I whispered to my dad, I said, how fast do you think we can go? He's like, well, let's just see. So you hear that four barrel just open up, and we're doing like 90, and all of a sudden we hear, woo, and the police are behind us.
Oops.
So we get pulled over, and it was some farm town, and the whole thing, everybody be quiet. So then the officer was really nice, and he says, you know, you got to pay the ticket, and in our town, you got to go to the court and pay it now. So we had to follow him into the town behind the police officer, behind his police car.
Yeah.
So we're driving through. We get into this little town, and there's the grain silos and everything, and, five
You're
boys.
You're a great storyteller, and I want to let you go, but I got to go to a break here. So, unfortunately, I have to ask you to get to the brush with death part.
Oh, okay. So we're in town. We're going over the railroad tracks. Car's too low. The exhaust hits the railroad tracks and stops the car. So my dad gets out, and he's trying to get the muffler off. The cop comes back.
Does the train come?
My muffler's stuck. Train's coming, and he just guns it, rips the exhaust off.
That would.
And we survived.
Yeah, that's great. So, a guy got pulled from a plane seconds before it was hit by a train. Los Angeles police officers pulled an injured pilot from the wreckage of a small plane that crash landed on railroad tracks.
Of all the places to land.
Just seconds before a commuter train smashed into the plane. Can you imagine you survive a plane crash and it crashes on railroad tracks? On railroad tracks.
Yep.
Bad day entirely. Set of tracks going right. Across the road.
There's plenty of real estate around
here.
It. Yep.
You could have been over there.
Yep. No, 20 feet over here.
No, right here. And when you crash, the train's coming.
Yay. Timing. Yeah, I caught the train.
That is just great.
So, yeah, I would say perfect timing, but it feels like the opposite.
It's all of the wrong timing.
All bad timing.
But
bad
everything timing. Had to line up exactly right for that circumstance.
Well, the plane crash on the tracks just happened to be a block or so away from a Los Angeles police headquarters. The cops were there almost instantaneously.
Seconds.
And they started ripping this guy out of the plane, and it wasn't easy because it was a crumpled Cessna.
It's all mangled, yeah.
And they got him out of there just in time, and seconds later the train came and nailed the plane. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Took it away entirely.
Full
blast. No cleanup here. We're good.
Here's some audio from the body cam.
Go!
How many seconds from go, go, go? Because go, 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 they're still at the plane.
To impact?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Go, go, go.
Just under four. It's like 3.8.
Woo!
Seconds.
That's pretty damn close.
Yeah.
It is very close.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think you can get closer.
In a movie, they would make it closer.
Yeah.
Like his shoe would be going with the plane.
Right, they're like being Arnold. Yeah. Go now, do it. So right. You go, go, go.
That's as close as you could get in real life. It's just amazing.
Well, they definitely all earned a medal, that's for sure.
It's something, at least a beer.
Yeah, dinner.
Yeah, the Los Angeles Police Department identified the officers as Damian Castro, Christopher Oboide, Robert Shurick, and Sergeant Joseph Cavastani. Yeah, and we were going to talk to Cavastani, but we just,
need to
doing cop stuff.
I just saw somebody call. I don't know if that was him.
Let's buy some of the tickets.
So frustrating.
Well, it's just after 6 in the morning there. So.
Yeah, I mean, technically,
this poor guy, it's like, well, I saved the guy from a plane, and I got to, what, get up at 6 to talk to a radio station?
Technically, he could, you know, qualify for the tickets. Close brush with death.
You know?
And if that doesn't earn you tickets, what does?
If only he were a Connecticut resident.
Yes. Right. Damn it. He's moving right now as we speak.
Yeah.
He's heading over here.
Wow.
Bravo.
Yeah, that, I wonder who yelled out, go, 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 you know.
The pilot.
The pilot was bloodied and just barely awake. Like, you could tell he had just enough energy to keep his head up.
His world got rocked big time.
Oh, he's like, what the hell happened?
Well, not the whole, my guy crashed on train tracks against a train.
Hello, is this our Los Angeles police officer?
Yes, it is. I'm Sergeant Joseph Cavastani.
Hello!
Sergeant Cavastani, thank you for calling in. Thank you for what you do.
Yes,
and
thank you.
Wow, what a weekend you had.
Seriously.
Yeah, just a little eventful.
So where were you? Bring us through everything.
Well, initially I was traveling back to the station. I was coming back from another radio call, and I was probably about a quarter mile away from the intersection, and I happened to see an object that looked like it had landed or come down onto the street.
What was your other radio call? What was the call you were calling?
That was some sort of a landlord-tenant dispute. It was not a big deal.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, it didn't register right away what it was. It took me a few seconds to realize what it was. And then when I decided to start heading towards it, it took me a few seconds, maybe about 10 seconds to get up to the intersection. And when I made it up there, I obviously saw a plane had crash landed onto the intersection, and it had landed onto the railroad tracks.
And what? So what's going through your mind now? You're like, you know,
really,
this is
at that point. Well, in the station is actually only a block away from the airport. It's literally maybe 50 yards from that intersection. So it's not unusual to annually. We probably have about 2 to 3 planes that crash land in the area. So it's not unusual to see a plane actually go down. But and again, when I first got to the scene, it didn't seem that unusual that a plane had gone down. What I was expecting to find was either a fire going on at the plane or the pilot deceased. But when I did get up there, he was conscious and breathing. He did suffer, you know, numerous lacerations and contusions, and there was a lot of air fuel leaking out onto the street.
Oh,
but he was alive and conscious. Yeah.
Okay, so that adds another element of danger we didn't calculate into this.
Yes, no smoking.
That at any moment this thing could just go woof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Correct.
So you radio in, or there you already have help on the way?
Yeah. Well, when I first got there, again, it was only, like I said, 50 yards from the station. There were some officers in the parking lot that did observe it go down also. But when I did get on scene, I did put out a request for help, and the units got there fairly quickly.
So you're there by yourself for, you know, I don't know, under a minute. You're like, wow, this guy's still alive, and then here's help. Now you have help.
Correct. And when I did get up to the scene, there were probably about 5 civilians that were attempting to assist him. They were actually going to pull him out of the wreckage at that point, but due to his injuries, you know, I wasn't sure if he had any spinal injuries or neck injuries, so I had them leave him there for a second. When my officers got there, I had them get some fire extinguishers just in case a fire did start, and then we stood by, and we were going to wait for the fire department to respond to, you know, assist in the rescue. I did notify over our communications to have any trains stop on the railroad track, but apparently that didn't happen in time.
So you radio in, hey, man, stop the trains.
Right.
Got to get this guy out.
Yeah.
Now you start getting the guy out, and you're like, well, this is a little bit more complicated than we thought because the plane's mangled and he wouldn't come right out, right?
Right. Well. Again, we were going to leave him there until the fire department responded, but, you know, as we were waiting, we started to hear the train or the alarms going down for the arms to for the train to
this
approach.
This is just...
This is not good.
So someone...
Yeah.
So someone looks at you and says, hey, I thought you called to stop those trains.
I did!
Correct. That was my thinking. I thought we were golden. I thought we had everything stopped, and all we were going to do is we were just going to contain the scene and wait for the fire department to arrive to, you know, help us out. Probably from the time that I got to the scene to the time that the train actually hit the plane, it was about 5 minutes.
Oh.
That guy had one hell of a five-minute span.
Yes,
because,
he did.
FAA said the plane went up at 2:10, and at 2:15 from a body cam is the train hitting the plane. So
correct.
Within 5 minutes, this guy went from being in the air to crashing on railroad tracks to getting pulled from a plane and just barely escaping.
Multitasking big time.
The train hitting the plane.
With the leaking fuel everywhere.
Yeah.
It looked like there were four of you trying to pull him out all at the same time, like converging on this one small spot of the airplane.
You know, there were multiple officers there, but three officers actually were able to get hands onto him and drag him out of the plane. Again, I was just directing. I didn't actually pull him out with them. But the three officers were able to pull him out.
Now, were you the one who yelled, go, 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 go?
Everybody was yelling. I don't know if I honestly can't remember if I was yelling that or if another officer was. I do remember when the train was coming down on us, I had turned around and told them, hey, get them out of there now. And then, again, the officers just did what we needed to do.
Yeah, so how close was that train when you looked over and thought, oh, boy.
You know, when the incident actually occurred, It didn't register. We pulled him out, got him to safety, you know, turned around, you know, we're just in awe of the train hitting the plane. And then not till about 45 minutes, maybe an hour later, when some of us were starting to look at our footage on our body-worn videos, and that's when it hit us. We were like, hey, we're pretty close to that. And then it turned out we were probably maybe 20 feet away from it when the plane struck the, or when the train struck the plane.
We did the timing of the audio from the body cam. And when the officer yells, go, 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 you're still in he's still in the plane. Like you're at the plane. And it was 4 seconds later, the plane was hit by the train and you were not far away. Let me play this audio for you. I get chills hearing that
because
that is so damn close.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't train you for that stuff in the academy, do they?
No way.
Yeah, how's a pilot now? Any word?
You know what? We haven't seen him since the day of the incident. The last we heard is that he was in stable condition. But I don't know. I don't actually know if he's, you know, how he's actually doing at this point.
Well, if not for the bravery of those officers at that moment, he would be dead. And you know what would have been, I don't want to say funny, but
ironic.
You survive a plane crash.
Get
and you're
train.
Like, wow, I survived. Meow, meow.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you can't.
Can you imagine that?
It's personal, yes.
Like he survived the initial plane crash, but then a train hit him.
Right, like the Alanis Morissette song, is it ironic?
I was thinking Wile E. Coyote, but okay.
Yeah. It is a little Wile E. Coyote.
It's really just incredible work. I just can't believe it. I mean, was your heart pounding through your chest or you're trained for these moments?
Well, I mean, we don't train for anything specific like this, but I've been doing this a fairly long time. I've been on the department for a little over 26 years now.
Wow.
I've had my fair share of incidents. But this was unusual. This was highly unusual.
Yeah. Does your adrenaline slow everything down? Does that moment now seem like it was in slow motion?
Yeah. You know what? I thought we had a lot more time from the beginning of the incident to when I first saw the train. I thought we had some time to work with. But and then even when the incident was actually happening, you're right. It did slow down. I didn't realize how close it was from extricating him from the vehicle to when the train struck the plane. I didn't realize it was only 4 to 5 seconds.
And you guys were 20 feet away, but if that plane exploded,
At 20 feet wouldn't have seemed like 20 feet. You would have been involved in that, you know?
Right.
Unbelievable. It's really, really unbelievable. I watched that video so many times. I think these are the videos that people need to see of police in action.
Exactly.
Here it is right here.
Yep.
Yeah. Unfriggin' real. Unreal.
You guys were awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that's this is a time to have a couple beers now.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
This is, all right, so you've been doing tacos. This for 26 years. This is now your number one story, right?
It's up there. It is up there.
Oh, it's up there.
In the top three. Okay, cool.
Like, what's another one in the top three?
That's going to be for my memoirs later.
So all right. I can't divulge that right now.
I got you.
I'm in negotiation with a movie
company. Can't wait to see which chapter this one is.
Yeah. I my wife's a nurse. They don't use the quiet word, you know? So I hear you. Superstition. All right. Well, thank you for what you do. Yeah. Thanks for coming on and really great work.
Yeah, great job, man.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right.